Good morning, everybody. Today is the feast day of the Fathers of the Sixth Ecumenical Council. Today is also the feast day that Reader James likes to call All Celtic Saints Day. However, the actual more proper title is All Saints of Great Britain and Ireland. And why I say that is because today I'm talking about the Irish mission to the Anglo-Saxon people of Northumbria. And there is a wealth of Anglo-Saxon saints to celebrate. Kindly, Rachel has brought her beautiful replica copy of the Lindisfarne Gospels. It's here on the table if you want to venerate it. After the service today, she'll be in the library bookstore room if anyone would like to actually see it, and I highly recommend it. It's absolutely beautiful, inspiring jewel of the gospel here. And she'll also try to answer any questions you have about it and about Anglo-Saxon times and Anglo-Saxon Christian faith. So, I call this the tale of two monasteries, the tale of two horses. So we start with a prelude. Picture an island. It's early summer. It's a beautiful period of the year. The fields have gotten warm. There are many monks out in the field threshing grains, and there is an elderly man, and he's looking out to sea, and he sees the beautiful foam. And then he goes to the top of his island, and he blesses it. And he thanks God for the gift of this holy island called Iona. His name is St. Columba. St. Columba brought the gospel to the Picts, and Iona became an amazing monastery and a great place of learning. Now, he was getting on, and he wanted to go to his reward. He was tired. And his attendee, a young monk named Dermud, was greatly sorely distressed when Columba said that he wouldn't be with them that much longer. But Columba did not want to grieve his monks by going to his death before Pascha. So the Lord and himself, he waited. So, as he was blessing his island, he was walking along with Dermud, and he said, "Who is that young monk over there?" And Dermud said, "That, Father, is Brother Aidan." And Brother Aidan turned around and was like, "Bless me, Father." And Columba blessed Aidan. And Columba, as he walked away, told Dermud, "That man will do great things for the kingdom of God, and he will go to other lands and preach the gospel." So he sat down. He was tired when he got near his hut, and Dermud was shocked as he saw a great raging white horse running as fast as it could right towards Columba. And Dermud stood up and was like, "Should I get the master out of the way?" The horse stopped. And then the horse put her head in Columba's lap and started foaming at the mouth and crying big tears, weeping. And Dermud was like, what? And he was about to remove the horse. Now this horse had faithfully for many years brought milk pails up the hill for Columba to drink. In fact, Columba, he had very simple tastes in food. He basically only ate oat bread. He liked oat bannock, and occasionally he would drink milk. So this horse had been faithful to him for many years. And Columba said, "Dermud, don't. The horse knows that I am to die today, and he is mourning my passing. Let him mourn. See how God can give such beautiful wisdom to a simple creature. Did you know that today would be my day of passing?" And Dermud was amazed. And as the horse had seen, Columba passed later that evening. Now we'll go along a number of years later. And now we have a gentleman named Corman also from the island of Iona. And King Oswald, who is an Anglo-Saxon king, and his people are in exile away from Northumbria, and he's about to take his kingdom back. He succeeds, and he wants to bring the gospel to his people. He is a Christian. He's very devout. And so he requests them to send a bishop and a missionary. So they send this man named Corman. A little later, Corman comes back to Iona, and he says, "It didn't work. These people are stubborn. I can't stand them. They're ugly. Their culture sucks. They're stupid." And he's talking with St. Aidan about this. And Corman, the thing is he was very severe. And he was severe, and he was very, very harsh in keeping what he saw as the way Christians should be. And Aidan said to him, "Brother, isn't it best for our new believers and for those that we are sharing the gospel with to be humble and first feed them milk before we give them solid foods?" And I think this illustrates to us, because we're all called to be missionaries, and I will describe Aidan's mission in a little bit, but Aidan's mission will be an example to us here how to be living missionaries in our city of Vancouver. We live in a multicultural city. We are called to not look down on anybody. We are called to appreciate them, in fact, and celebrate them in their uniqueness and their difference. And in so doing, then we'll build a relationship. We need to understand that all people in our midst are precious vessels of God, just waiting for the community of love to be in their life. And for those of us that are actually called to missions to other cultures, respecting that culture, understanding that culture, and I would say loving those people are essential. So as we go about our daily lives, let us take St. Aidan's example. And so Aidan took 12 monks because the mission had failed, and Oswald requested another bishop. Aidan went, and he was the perfect man for the job. He went to an island that Oswald gave to the monks, which became known as Lindisfarne, hence the Lindisfarne Gospel. It was the perfect island because it was near enough to the people, but it was only accessible twice a day when the tide was low, so they had solitude, but they could also go out to the people and preach the gospel and share. So Aidan, he was the kind of man who would walk everywhere. He would go into the alleyways. He would be with the people. He wouldn't get up on his high horse and look down on people and wear the pomp and ceremony that one might expect of a bishop. He lived plainly. His monks lived plainly and simply. But he was incredibly generous. In the words of Venerable Bede, who wrote the famous ecclesiastical history of England, I'm just going to, because I can't remember Bede off by heart. I'd like to read this little bit about what Venerable Bede says about him. "St. Aidan, he was one to traverse both town and country on foot, never on horseback, unless compelled by some urgent necessity. And wherever in his way he saw any, either rich or poor, he invited them, if infidels, to embrace the mystery of faith, or if they were believers, to strengthen them in the faith, and to stir them up by words and actions, to alms and to good works. This, the reading of scriptures and psalms and meditation upon holy truths, was the daily employment of himself and all that were with him. Wheresoever he went, as it happened, which was but seldom, that he was invited to eat with the king, he went with one or two clerks, and having taken a small repast, would give it to the clerks, and they would take it to the poor. Whatsoever gifts of money he received, he distributed them to the poor, and bestowing them in ransoming some who had wrongly been sold as slaves. More afterwards, he made many of those he had ransomed his disciples, and having taught and understood them, advanced many to the priesthood. He also founded a school. He knew that sharing the faith was one thing, but he wanted to entrust the faith and the church to the future generations. So he took 12 Anglo-Saxon young men who wanted to and brought them to the monastery to train them up in the faith. So one day, unfortunately, King Oswald died. He was killed in battle. But his son took over, King Oswin. So King Oswin gave Saint Aidan a beautiful horse. The horse was known across the kingdom as like just powerful and gorgeous and extremely long-lasting. And horses were expensive. And this was the pride and joy of the kingdom. And Aidan had every right to have a horse of such dignity. But what did he do when he got the horse? Walking along, he saw a peasant pushing this very heavy cart. And he said, "Oh, here, why don't you have a horse?" And the peasant said, "My horse died. I don't have enough money to buy a horse." So he gave him this horse. A little while later, King Oswin heard about this. And King Oswin was having invited Aidan to a feast. And King Oswin asked him, he said, "Why did you give away this horse that I gave you? You know, you could have given the peasant just an inexpensive horse. I don't understand." And Saint Aidan said, "Let me ask you a question, O King. Do you value the son of a mare more than the son, than a child, a man-child of God?" And Oswin was humbled. And Oswin's response was, "Indeed, I will not bring this matter up again. Anything you need, it is yours. Whatever you want to do with it, whatever you want to give away, I bless you to do this, and I humbly will serve you and your ministry." So that's amazing. After St. Aidan left, he said to his fellow monks, "I fear King Oswin will not be with us very long because the world is not worthy of him. And the kingdom is not worthy of him." Oswin soon was murdered. So Oswin demonstrates to us what good leadership is about, what good Christian leadership is about. If you're in a place of authority in your workplace, if you're in a place of wealth, if you're in a place of authority in a church, I would say, if you're on the council, this is an example. King Oswin is an example of how we need to lead with humility, with respect, and also honoring the humble elders who know best. So I want to bring this back to the epistle that was read today, which was Hebrews. I think sums it up very well. "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the gate, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And indeed, Saint Aidan and his apostles never tired of doing good or to share. And he suffered reproach. He suffered reproach outside of the camp. In fact, when Saint Aidan died, there had been many wars among the Anglo-Saxons, and some pagans had come in. And he abhorred the violence he was seeing. But he continued his mission. And he is an example to us. Our true home, our true city, is the city of God, the kingdom of heaven. And in this city, may we live, love, and share that city which is to come. He died, actually, Saint Aidan died. His death is like his life. There was a tent built for him just outside of a church, and he just stood against the church like this praying, and he died standing. Let us stand with St. Peter and love each other. Thank you.